Now, when you walk into the ring for the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Dear Blood River Radio family, I'd like to thank you so much for holding on. I really would. I've got a little animated, a little bit more than usual the first hour, a little bit fiery maybe. If for our listeners, I don't give a damn who I'm insulted if they don't listen to our program, but our listeners and especially our supporters, I don't want to hurt your feelings or like that, anything like that, but I don't know where you would find a good church in Africa around here. I've been to several of them, and I guess the closest, as strange as it is, may seem, and this is left over from first hour, and I got to shut the hell up. But this closest I've come to is the Orthodox. It's I think the Russian Orthodox down off of in the inner city called Tutwiler Street. They seem to still hold strictly to the gospel from what I've seen, but they're so. Ceremonial. I just can't get into all that ceremony. Maybe I'm just too evil. But anyway, I'd just like to get that out of the way. But I was telling about how I went over to Bellevue Baptist and I got to kind of show them the door there the other day by the goon squad, the so-called security, when I got into one of their little tin horn preachers, you know, trying to get the USS Liberty sailors to be able to speak over there. But anyway, that was so much for the first hour. We're leaving that first hour stuff on the first hour. We just translated over to transition to second hour, and I'm bowing out. My job tonight has been pretty much done. We have Mr. Don Wassel on, a guy I'm very, very proud of, much more intellectual than I have. We have another intellectual on here. He was a Phi Beta Kappa, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, I graduated, thank you, Lord. Not cum laude, but thank you, Lord. But anyway, we got these two guys on. Yeah, I got out by the skin of my teeth. Skin of my chinny chin chin. Well, I didn't get as much education as these guys. But anyway, they are also warriors. Since you hadn't been on with Don in a while, we'll bring you on first. How are you doing tonight, Don?
Hey, I'm doing great, Eddie. Thanks for having me on.
Well, I'm so glad. Thank you for coming on. And Paul, say a big hello to you before we take off. How are you doing tonight, Paul?
I'm doing well. I'm on the edge of a rather rare savanna oak forest, not too far from me. It's quite rare, and I was out doing a bit of bird watching and photography. So I'm in my car, all ready to and all fired up to talk about the crazy state of the world.
Amen to that. Well, listen, I'm so glad both of you guys are here. Without we wasting any more of your time, Don, if you will, you might want to. When we start, before we do anything, before I forget, tell them about American Freedom News. Tell them about that, Don. We can't say that enough. We really can't. So go ahead. Tell them about that. Tell them how they can read it. And anything you'd like to say about that before we delve into the meat of this broadcast.
Yeah, sure. It's AmericanFreedomNews.us. .us. It's not .com. It's .us. AmericanFreedomNews.us. It's a... You call it an online newspaper, Eddie, and I think pretty much that's what it is, especially maybe to older people that remember printed matter, like newspapers and books and things like that. So it's a daily digest. I scour the internet and look at a lot of different links and put 10 or 12 or 15 on there every day that I think are interesting. And a lot of them are on foreign policy. A lot of them are on domestic issues. Put a fair amount about, since Paul's on there, you know, I'll put a fair amount of articles relating to Canada, a lot with Britain, because there's a lot going on there now, a lot in Europe in general, Russia, Ukraine. So I set it up in a way, I think if people go to it and make it a regular stop, they will be the best informed person in their neighborhood. So You can save a lot of time going to a lot of other sites. You can just go to AmericanFreedomNews.us every day and get a lot of the important stuff right on that site. That's the purpose of it, and that's the way I've set it up, and hopefully other people will agree.
I totally agree. I went to it just yesterday, went to it again today, reading some news articles there. You don't need to go anywhere else. I'm not just saying that because Don is a good friend of mine and because he's helping us out on this program. I'm telling you flat truth. You need not go anyplace else. I mean, you can read the American Free Press once in a while if you want to, but I tell you, anything you can find on the AFP or anyplace else, it's already there, and Don does it every day. I'll have to admit, I'm not technologically savvy, et cetera, but even I have gone to almost deserted the printed media because to going to the American Free Press. But if you will, people, I cannot encourage you enough to go there. You can get informed, and I can double damn guarantee you that Don will not put any crap there that's not true to the best of. I'm not saying he's perfect. I'm not saying something doesn't get by him once in a while because, you know, he's only human, but he's not going to put any garbage there that it's any propaganda from the woke people, the woke fraternity. So, you know, before we go anywhere, Don, if you have something to talk about, there's one thing that Paul might want to cover that Will told him from the first hour about the Canadian trucker strike several years ago. Will said he talked to a fellow from Canada who was a trucker, and he said that the Canadian trucker strike was not about the COVID lockdown. He said it was about the Canadian government subsidizing all these Sikhs, these Pakistanis, these Indians, these Chinese, these truck drivers over traditional Canadians, Anglo-Saxon Germanic people, the citizens there. But I don't know if you want to talk about that, Paul. But Paul, if you will, if you want, take off, and then we'll get Don to come in and whatever he wants to do. Because I'm bowing out right now. I'm basically just going to bring you guys in now. The breaks. My part's pretty much been done. So go ahead, Paul.
Well, your guest from the first hour mentioned what he'd heard, that these East Indian, mostly Sikh truck drivers with small companies that are replacing white-owned companies are government-subsidized. I don't know if that's true. It may be. But the way we've seen the fiddle go is this. They bring in their relatives or others and give them very little training. And this has caused all sorts of accidents. Many of these people don't speak or read English. Well, that's a bit of a problem driving an 18-wheeler. We have to be able to read signs and plan ahead. That's why they're in a lot of accidents. It was a terrible accident about 10 years ago where a Sikh who was over here on a student visa, he's supposed to be studying, was hired by his uncle. And he had only 2 weeks training. He was driving a what would you call it, a truck with two units, a double or a cab or something, and he plowed into a school bus that was carrying the entire junior hockey team of a little town in Saskatchewan named Humboldt. It killed half the team, and the other half, many of them, will be crippled for life. It devastated the town. Well, you know, sorry. The guy was not trained. The guy was not qualified, and that's one of the ways these people can undercut white businesses. Hey, if you're hiring a guy, at half wage or even less, or sometimes what they'll do is they'll bring these people over and they will pay them a salary, but they claw back part of the salary as a fee for having got them into the country. I mean, it's as crooked as a dog's hind leg. And the various governments, provincial and federal, that are supposed to regulate the transport industry, do virtually nothing about it. So they let them get away with murder, and they therefore undercut the white businesses who, do for the most part pay a proper wage and make sure their vehicles are maintained and all that. What we're doing is reducing our country to third world standards with unfortunately third world results.
Go ahead, Don.
Well, no, that's, Paul knows his stuff about that. Back when the Freedom Times newspaper was still in print, I had a reporter, Patricia Aiken, a good friend of mine. She lived in Nevada, but she had a lot of good sources in Canada, and she was writing articles every month about the trucker strike and that thing. It was just a phenomenal, wonderful thing when it happened. Of course, you know, the government came down really hard on a lot of them, the leaders, as happens in this country and in Europe too. But it was something that really lifted the spirits of people around in North America and Europe. And just the Sikhs, the Indians. I mean, I know we've talked before, Eddie. I mean, it's just amazing how many Indians are now. I know they're in Canada. I know there's unbelievable amounts here in the U.S. too. They're the overclass. They're the imported overclass. Where you have.
Man, we got to go to our first break. We'll be right back, and I'll make a comment about the Sikhs and Indians very quick. As soon as we come back from this break, be right back, folks.
Okay, listen up, people. I'm beating the bushes for a few good men. I don't want you boys the alt-right. I want the hardcore of the hard right. And I need you front and center, boots on the ground, at a minute's notice, in the streets, and I need your money. You know the problem that the whites of the world face. It's the all-too-real threat of global extermination. And you know what's going on in South Africa and Western Europe. And unless you're semi-comatose, you've already seen the first stages of white genocide unfolding in our country. Our culture is under constant full-scale attack by our enemy. The enemy never sleeps. They spend day and night wrecking the monuments and the graves of our beloved kin. They attack us physically everywhere we go. They've already taken the linen and our stone. Now they're coming after our flesh. And if you're not too squeamish, if you want to be part of the number one white advocacy group and the number one white civil defense group in the United States, then contact Eddie Bombardier Miller at BloodRiverRadio.com. And please, please donate. And God knows you need us as much as we need you. Thank you.
Introducing Managed IT Services from NPI. We offer top-notch data backup and recovery, email spam protection, and network security tailored to your needs and budget. With 20-plus years of experience in the medical field, our HIPAA-certified consultants know what it takes to protect sensitive information. Don't settle for less. Give us a call at 801-706-6980 and experience the difference with Managed IT Services. Remember, your IT support should be fast, efficient, and reliable.
Introducing PrepStartsNow.com, your ultimate guide to readiness and peace of mind. We offer practical preparedness tools, training, and education to take your family's household readiness to the next level. Browse the prep shop for essential products, check out our planning guides, and stay informed with our prep blog. Visit PrepStartsNow.com and subscribe to our emails for exclusive offers, new products, and future events. Remember, preparedness begins with PrepStartsNow.com.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Yes, indeed, you have to say something. Dear Blood River Radio family, we're back. I hope you didn't get late coming back, but we were talking about during the break about, I know we may be hammering it, kicking a dead horse, but it can't be emphasized enough, people, that we have been taking over when the medical system in the United States of America, the medical system in the United States of America probably used to be the crown jewel in medicine worldwide. I mean, I'm not saying it was better than the Canadian, the British, or the Germans. I'll say the crown jewel of white medicine. But now it's being replaced by people who can't even speak English. You go into a veterans hospital and the United States government, for instance, is supposed to love the veterans so much, like the Southern Baptists we talked about. But we can't have white doctors. We can't have white nurses. You go to see these doctors, y'all, Don and Paul, you can't understand what they're saying. They'll give you the wrong medicine. I mean, it's just pathetic. But anyway, Paul, you said something about that, about this document, this pamphlet that Jason Robb has been, that he wrote. We have a few left here. If people, if you'd like to know, I'll make this quick. If you'd like to know why, one of the main reasons you don't see white doctors anymore, you'd like to know why, if you're a young white man, especially a male, and no matter how high your IQ is, no matter how high your scores are taking the MCAT, you need not apply to medical school. Let me know if you would like to have a booklet that Jason Robb wrote called Dark Medicine. Send me an email, Eddie at bloodribradio.com. We'll get you one for a donation. But of course, we need money to cover the postage. But anyway, Paul, before we go back to Don, comment on that a little bit, brother.
Sorry?
Comment on just comment on the narrative I just got to talking about the booklet, Dark Medicine.
Yes. There's been a substantial takeover of in the medical field, not just as nurses, but even doctors. In Canada, and you're saying in the United States, and I truly don't understand why. We have medical schools in both countries, some of the best in the world. Why aren't we graduating our own? And in Canada, the medical system is in this complete disarray, overwhelmed by all the newcomers, there are horrific wait lists for non-urgent operations, for instance, a knee or hip replacement. Well, but if you're in agony, it's pretty urgent, but it's not an urgent operation like, say, demand a heart attack or something like that. But we have medical schools in Canada that are trying to devote the bulk of their admissions to non-white males. They're preferring women, LGBTQ, XYZ, and third worlders. I mean, that's their policy, and they've been criticized for it, and they're still trying to find ways to weasel around it. And I suspect that's been the case, maybe not quite so blatant, for 15 or 20 years. The absolute scumbag traitors that run many of our institutions are so hate white people and so favor every degenerate screwball and third worlder, and they're not the same. Imagining setting aside seats for people who are transitioning. Well, if you are so effed up in your own personality that you're not quite sure what you are, male or female, I don't want you operating on me. I don't want you prescribing medicine. In fact, I don't want to be in the same flipping room as you.
Go ahead, Don.
Yeah, not only that, too. Yeah, I mean, a lot of them, even if they're competent, they have a healthy hatred for people like us. So that's another reason. Those three words, the great replacement, I mean, that's sort of a fit-all three words there for a lot of things going on. Why is this happening? Why is this happening? They hate whites. They want to replace us. They're determined to replace us. We have no representation anymore. They're going to do it whether we want like it or not. And the Indians are a great example. I mean, we had the imported underclass of Mexicans and people from south of the Rio Grande. Now we have the imported overclass. And that happened very quickly. It happened without much to do or much recognition, even from the aware segment, the pro-white, the racially aware people. I used to write about it in the Freedom Times back 10 years ago when nobody else was even mentioning it because it was happening and it was so obvious. And the Indians, I mean, India is the most populated country in the world, or it's close to it. Who knows exactly, but it's like China. There's well over a billion people there. A lot of them want to get out of India, and then you have governments that are bringing them in. And it's happening all through the Western world.
The blame has to, I think we've got to be very emphatic on the blame. Yes, we can talk about these people and their nasty characteristics and so on, but the blame is our own traitors at the top in government, yes, but also in the institutions, in big business, in banking, that are only to, in fact, in Canada, there was an instance a couple of years ago where one of the major banks was replacing a couple of hundred people in their tech department. So they were basically firing a couple of hundred, 300, I think it was, Canadians, who then had to go through the degradation of training their replacements from India. I mean, talk about treason to your own white people. And the people making these decisions are, for the most part, white. And it's not just government, but it's some of the major corporations in Canada. The banks are just putrid. It's hard to go into a bank branch and not see something LGBTQ plus. In fact, one of the banks, when you went to the automatic teller in June, which is Gay Pride Month, you put your card in, and a rainbow would flash from right to left across the screen, and in rainbow colors, of course, and the slogan, "Forever Proud," and I thought, proud of what? I won't be unnecessarily vulgar on a family program, but
proud of taking over our culture and our countries, I guess. That's about it.
And they dominate. In fact, there was a fellow in Nanaimo, British Columbia, who went into a bank, his bank, and he finally complained to the teller. He said, "You know, I'm a Christian. I come in here to do business. I don't appreciate this, this advertising for the LGBT community." She said, "You get out." Well, he got out and he thought, "Well, she's just in a bad mood today." He went back the next day and he was informed by the manager, "You're banned. You're being debanked." Well, it got even worse. The guy had his mortgage with the same company, same bank, and he found, and I don't know how they could do this legally, but they pulled his mortgage. Now, he was worked up in the oil patch and made a fair deal of money, but he was temporarily unemployed. He was not able to renegotiate a mortgage with somebody else, and he lost his house, all because he expressed an opinion. That's how totalitarian the banks are. I've just written on Facebook in response to something else. It's as if we're in an occupied country. It's as if it's not our country anymore. We've been taken over.
Yeah, it's not just the government. It's the corporations. It's the NGOs are incredibly important, and they're still underpublicized. And it's some of these so-called charities. I mean, they all work together with the government, and it's a unitary system. It has a lot of different parts, and maybe they're not all synchronized perfectly, but they all move together. It's a hive mind kind of thing. And I'm hoping that in this country, at least. Some of what you were just talking about, Paul, I mean, we were having that here, too, a lot of people having their bank accounts closed and things like that based on their political opinions and things like that. Now, I think it stopped, at least temporarily, since Trump did some things to counteract it. But who knows if what's going to happen in 2026, 2028. I mean, I'm not confident at all that the left is not going to get back in power again, and they'll come back with a vengeance. But at any rate, the NGOs have got, they're the enemy as much as anything, and they have command of probably trillions of dollars, and that's not an exaggeration, but at least hundreds of billions. And it's just coming out now. It should have been out a long time ago, and Trump is supposedly just recognizing it now, that George Soros alone and these NGOs, they have poured hundreds of millions of dollars into Antifa and into these paid protesters and these set-up riots all across the U.S., since 2020, really, and they're starting up again. This has been going on. It's been going on with law enforcement having hands tied behind their back, and it's been totally financed top down. So again, you're right, Paul. It's all, you got to look to the top, but you got to go after the street scum too. And let's pray that the Trump administration is serious about it. They're talking about it now. Finally, there's some good things going on with James Comey being charged, and maybe John Bolton. And this Letitia James and things are starting to move a little bit, but it has to be a lot more than that, and it has to be done in a way. I mean, as I've said before, and I mean this totally, the left cannot be allowed to get back in power in this country. It just can't, because they'll come back. They are so violent, so bloodthirsty. If they get back in power, it's gonna be really nasty. And of course, Canada, you don't have Trudeau there anymore, but apparently it hasn't improved much from what it was in Canada. Yeah, things are in bad shape there, and all through Europe too. It's a very dire time. We can't.
Don and Paul, we have to go over that. We have to go to the bottom of our break. It's going to be a long break. People got plenty of time to get coffee, but there's an excellent article on American News American Freedom News call, Who Needs White Nationalism? It will back up exactly what Paul and Donald have been talking about. Maybe we can cover that when we come back. Be right back, folks.
How would you like to help this program reach more people and earn silver at the same time? Call or text 801-669-2211 for complete details.
News this hour from Town Hall, I'm Mary Rose. The firing of federal workers has begun as the White House seeks to pressure Democrats to end the government shutdown. Jennifer King reports.
Fallout from the federal government shutdown continues. Unions for federal workers said they will take the matter to court after the budget office pulled the trigger on mass firings of more than 4,000 federal workers. With reporters on Friday, President Trump said there's a method to the reductions in force.
It will be Democrat-oriented because we figure, you know, they started this thing, so they should be Democrat-oriented. It'll be a lot.
The Treasury could lose over 1,400 employees, and Health and Human Services will lose over 1,100. Amid concerns about the low-income food aid program that supports over 6 million people, White House spokeswoman Caroline Levitt says the government's providing a $300 million infusion using tariff revenues to keep the program running. Jennifer King, Washington.
Palestinians begin returning to Gaza neighborhoods amid the second day of a ceasefire between Israel and Hamas. Senator Kevin Cramer says it's another win for President Trump's policy of peace through strength.
It is a bit of a slogan, but it also means something because it's also an attitude, and he has absolutely put the world on notice multiple times. You'd think they'd learn sooner that he is capable of doing what he says he will do, and he has the means to do it. And good for him.
The deal has raised hopes for ending the Israel-Hamas war, with all the remaining hostages taken in the October 7th, 2023 attack set to be released within days. About 200 U.S. troops have arrived in Israel to monitor the ceasefire. They will set up a center to facilitate the flow of humanitarian aid as well as logistical and security assistance. Power has been restored to over 800,000 residents in Kyiv a day after Russia launched major attacks on Ukraine's power grid, causing widespread blackouts. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Is war in the Middle East the revival of an ancient conflict recorded in the Bible?
The nation of Israel is a resurrected nation. So what if there was going to be a resurrection of another people, an enemy people of Israel?
Dinesh D'Souza's new film, The Dragon's Prophecy, offers new understanding of October 7th, Israel, and radical Islam.
We came back to a land that was largely barren and empty, and we brought it back to life, and we're going to keep it.
Watch it now or buy the DVD at salemnow.com.
I'm not going to tell you what to do with your money, but gold has increased over 80% in the past 2 years. So if you think stuffing money under your mattress is your retirement plan, well, good luck with that. When you call Advantage Gold at 800-741-GOLD, we'll send you a free gold kit that explains how rolling over your IRA into gold could not only supercharge your retirement, but maybe even help preserve your sanity. When's the last time you ever heard someone say, hey, sell all your gold? Always consult with your financial advisor before investing. Call 800-741-GOLD.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at cspoa.org. That's cspoa.org.
Get ready to be part of something incredible. We're breaking barriers and delivering the powerful stories that mainstream media won't touch. Your support is what fuels our mission to revolutionize journalism and bring you the truth. Join our passionate community of changemakers by donating at libertynewsradio.com today. Together, we're creating the future of news.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the hard genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
What we've got here is failure to communicate. Some men you just can't reach.
Dear Blood River Radio family, thank you so very much for holding on. We're going to go back to our excellent, excellent guests that are keeping this program going. Don, once again, I'd like to say he is Don Wassel, who's on tonight. He puts up the American Freedom News. If you want to go in there, you type in AmericanFreedomNews.us, not .org, not .com. But he's going to cover, him and Paul, they're going to cover an excellent, excellent article. It's really chilling. It's a bloodthirsty, chilling article. It's called, if you need to look this up, go into AmericanFreedomNews.us. You can pull it up. It's called Who Needs White Nationalism? And the guys are going to cover it right now. Go ahead, Don.
Yeah, it's right. If you go to AmericanFreedomNews.us, it's right at the top of the page there and on the right. And, of course, the headline's kind of facetious. It's like, who needs white nationalism? Because it's just because the left, the Democrat Party, is just so far gone that they are turning what's any Americans that still have any common sense left have turned against them. And this particular article, let me get down. Where did I get this from? This was on countercurrents.com, which is a good site, a pro-white site. And, pretty much details how deranged the left has become, starting off with Antifa and some of their bloodthirstiness. And you know, Antifa, I mean, they don't even try to hide it. They're all about violence and killing their enemies. And then it goes down, and it mentions this Jay Jones, who's the Democrat nominee for Attorney General in Virginia, and his text came out in the last week or so where he's fantasizing about killing his opponent, literally shooting his opponent and his opponent's wife, and I don't know if he went as far as their children, but it wouldn't be surprising if he did. And not only, I mean, it's not that surprising that the Democrats are running somebody like this. I mean, they are a deranged party of communists and Satanists. They've gone evil. They've just gone to the dark side. But what's happened after this Jay Jones, after these texts came out, is he was not repudiated by the Democrat Party either. He's still endorsed by the same people that are endorsing him. They'll say, well, you know, I don't agree with what he wrote. Well, of course, you're not going to say you agree with it. But they're not telling him to resign and stand aside either. And including Nancy Pelosi, I saw a little soundbite from her the other day. Well, you know, he's still the best qualified candidate. Yeah, right. I mean, what is I don't even know if Nancy Pelosi is still in Congress, but she still gets all the soundbites on TV and stuff, you know. But she's a sick witch. But, yeah, I mean.
Oh, yeah. She sure is.
I wrote back in March of this year what I felt. I wrote a Substack column called Ban the Democrat Party. Ban it. Literally ban it. They're out to get rid of us, not just the Republicans, who aren't much of an opposition anyways. I always say they're the Washington Generals of the Harlem Globetrotters, but they're out to literally eliminate the half of the country they regard as Nazis and fascists, deplorable, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, it's due unto others. I mean, their agenda isn't hidden anymore. They're more, even after Charlie Kirk, first of all, so many of them celebrated the death of Charlie Kirk, and his death has not really changed any of them, maybe a handful. But, they're more bloodthirsty and violent-oriented than ever. They have to be banned. It's us or them. I mean, that's what it's coming down to. And this is why, you know, at least in the U.S., we hope Trump will do what needs to be done. He is making some moves that are positive as far as Antifa and the NGOs and things like that. But, yeah, the left has to be defunded, deinstitutionalized. These people, a lot of them are just nuts. And especially the trans people and the, you know, the LGBT, yes, whatever they are, they cannot be anywhere near power in this country. I mean, we have been taken advantage of, exploited, manipulated, processed for so long that Americans are just too passive. And of course, part of it's understandable. A lot of people, who wants to give up what they have? Because there are still a lot of people who have a nice house and a family, et cetera, et cetera. But the thing is, we have got to not let the left get back into power. This has to be, this country has to keep moving to the right. We need two, if we're going to have two parties, there should be the Republicans and then a right-wing party, even to the right of the Republicans. The Democrats should be banned as a subversive national security threat, communist infiltration type deal. And so, I mean, that's honestly the way I feel about it. The Democrat Party, let's call a spade a spade. They're a bunch of communists and Satanists, and they're just downright evil people. And they want to literally eliminate us. So we better act accordingly.
And actually, their immigration program in the United States, Canada, and Europe is exactly that. It's the elimination of the white race, or that French philosopher phrased the great replacement. And that's exactly what's happening. They call it a right-wing conspiracy theory. It's no theory. It's happening. It's right before your eyes. It's undeniable. Trump is making some of the right moves. I think financially defunding some of them, at least the federal money, that's a first step, because money talks and bullshit walks. It's also, I think, declaring Antifa a criminal organization is important. But that's a first step. But a follow up is the concerted prosecution of their leaders, their funders, and their activists who've broken the law. I mean, you see them rioting in Portland. You see them in other places. I mean, there's numerous breaches of the law. It's not their opinions. It's their actions. Well, they should be prosecuted. And if the locals can't or won't, then I think Trump is absolutely right to step in.
Well, we've got the RICO law in this country, which has been used in an overbroad way many times, actually. I don't think it's a good law, but it's been used mostly against the right. So that it's certainly there as a tool to use to defund and maybe even imprison some of the leaders of the left, too, starting with George Soros. Why is George Soros still able to do what he does? It's obvious he's the godfather of the color revolution, the attempted color revolutions, and yet he still goes ahead. He has his NGOs and organizations. He's still funding the people that are trying to destroy this country. Why is that? Why is that? It has to end.
Am I correct that he lives in the United States now?
I'm not sure where he lives. I think he does, but I'm not,
I hope he doesn't have American citizenship. I mean,
they can shut down his bank accounts, and then they can certainly go after him in a number of ways if they want to, and they should. What I look at too, as far as what's changed under Trump. I mean, I think if you just went back to January of this year, and then you fell asleep for 9 months, and you woke up today, if you turned on the TV, you wouldn't see anything different. I mean, the advertising industry is still anti-white or non-white. Commercials still are, whites are the small minority of, basically, of, the men are dolts and the women are, I don't know what they are, but and of course you see even more and more Indians now. We were talking about, it's blacks and Indians and Asians and sprinkling of white people. So that tells you the way they, and this is a, I mean, the advertising industry is extremely powerful, and of course it's all tied into the intelligence community and just the institutions of control and manipulation. So that's telling you right there the country they want and what they're promoting. And the other thing is, too, I mean, I've got two websites. I've got AmericanFreedomNews.us, and then I have CastFootball.us, C-A-S-T-E, football.us, for those who are pro-white and interested in sports. That's a good website. But the search engines haven't changed at all either. Supposedly the oligarchs of Silicon Valley have bowed to Trump and, supposedly changed their ways, but I sure as heck don't see any difference at all in the way these search engines still censor and deplatform and marginalize anyone that has dissident views. So I don't know. There's a lot of talk, but I don't know how much has actually changed. And we're running out of time.
Yeah, and he's done a lot, I would say, in his, what would this be, his first, 9 months. He's done a lot more, than most presidents do in a full term. But he's only got, I would say, a year more with control of the Congress, and hopefully the Republicans will beat the historical pattern of the ruling party losing seats in the midterms, but he can only be sure of that power for another year, and right. maybe another three. But he continues to have to move fast. And on the domestic front, I agree with you that there must be prosecution of Antifa. They're the foot soldiers of the Democratic Party.
Oh, sure. I mean, if it was the, Ku Klux Klan or some, so-called white supremacist group doing one-tenth of what Antifa's done over the past 5 years, they'd have been smashed. They'd have been easily smashed, and Antifa can be smashed, too. All these people, a lot of them are just actually middle-class kids. They're college students. They're just, they've been influenced by these left-wing, far-left social media type, whatever you want to call them, Telegram and places where they get together and have their little echo chambers. But they're easy enough to go after. I mean, it's not tough at all. It's not tough at all.
With that, we have to take a quick break, our last break of the second hour, guys. Be right back. People, go get you a quick cup of coffee, but you only have about 2 minutes, so don't be late getting back. Be right back, folks.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an Immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
In the medical field, IT security is crucial. Our highly skilled consultants are HIPAA certified and have 20 plus years of experience servicing medical clinics, billing and supply companies. We offer comprehensive endpoint protection, guarding your computers and servers against all stages of threats. And with our 24/7 monitoring services, you'll never worry about extensive downtime again. Ready to level up your IT support? Call 801-706-6980 today and discover how great IT services can be with Managed IT Services.
Hello friends, this is Jacob from Blood River Radio. We call the kings into account and tell the truth to shame the devil on this show every week because we are of the firm conviction that our cause cannot succeed without true revival amongst the remnant, amongst that principled minority of the dispossessed majority. Now is the time to stand and be counted, to do like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would not bow down to the false idols of their day, even under pain of death. Like the 300 mighty men of valor who surrounded the Midianites with Gideon, or the 7,000 men that God told the prophet Elijah had not bowed their knees to Baal in a time when even calling fire down from heaven would not awaken our kinsmen from their slumber. If you are encouraged by our labors in the trenches for the kingdom and the cause of truth, liberty, and righteousness, I urge you to consider supporting this program. No donation is too small. We can do with thousands or even hundreds what our enemies and the powers and the principalities of this present darkness need tens of millions to do. So please donate today at BloodRiverRadio.com and help us take up the hedge and stand in the gap against the great evils of our time.
I'll tell you one thing that every good soldier knows. The only thing that counts in the end is power. Naked, merciless force!
Dear Blood River Radio family, I would like to highly encourage you to go to this article. I'm going to say it one more time. I don't have time to cover it, the whole thing. Who needs white nationalism? And AmericanFreedomNews.us. You need to go and read that. It's an eye-opener. I'm just going to make this real quick and go back to our other co-host. These Antifa that started burning down huge cities, going back to Ferguson, Missouri, even way before Ferguson, even in the Watts area of Los Angeles, anywhere where you have a large gathering of blacks, you're going to have this total raw savagery, lawlessness, breakdown of anything resembling law. Fast forwarding to the George Floyd fiasco where the entire cities were burnt down, the stores were looted, murder, rape, mayhem, to fast forward to now when Antifa, and we were talking about this during the break, Antifa and BLM bringing guillotines. Who the hell is putting out money, like Don said, for guillotines to be rolled out in front of ICE facilities saying, we're going to kill you, we have the guillotines. When, and I'll say this, if what good is it to bring the National Guard in, to bring the Marines in, if you don't start putting a round through the head? When you come out and you bring a guillotine out to a federal facility and you start throwing firebombs in a federal facility, you have just forfeited your life, my friend. And I say, if the National Guard doesn't unload and start pumping around his head and stop this crap, then that would then call them back. They're not doing their job. But, you know, also further down the same article, it's true. This black, he's a mulatto, like Don said. I hadn't seen a picture of him. But this Jay Jones, he's a mulatto. And just about, I don't know why it is, most mulattoes, they always take the side of the black. But he's calling for, he's fantasizing about the death of Virginia House Speaker Todd Gilbert, and said that his wife and his children need to die because of because House Speaker Todd Gilbert and his wife are raising little Nazis. I mean, you need to read that article, people. And it's a wake up call. But anyway, back to you, Don.
Sure. You know, it is amazing. And of course, the guillotine, I think, was in Portland. Portland and Seattle were both cesspools.
Yeah, Portland.
Antifa activities. But the Portland police are basically pro Antifa as well, or at least the ones at the higher ups. So that's one reason they get away with stuff like that. The police are basically under orders not to do anything about it. There was a conservative reporter out there a couple of weeks ago there's a woman too. They try to document on the ground what's going on, and they've both been attacked. The woman ended up with a black eye. The guy was attacked too, and you know, and he fought back a little bit, and the police arrested him. I mean, this is how bad the Portland police are. You know, and so then you have members of the Portland City Council or whatever the governing body is. There's YouTubes and TikTok videos. This one woman in particular giving Antifa tactics on how not to be arrested and how to do this and how to do that. So the power structure, it's not just the scum on the street. It's seeped all the way from the top down. And you have cities like this that are just totally run by the communists, the extreme left, whatever you want to call it. Seattle's another one. You know, Oregon and Washington, I mean, there's those two states. You take away Portland and Seattle, they're pretty traditional conservative states, but you've got enough population in those two cities that they control the state government. And that's the way it is in a lot of the U.S., actually. I mean, you've got these blue city strongholds, what they call them, you know, the left strongholds. But you know, 97% of the counties voted for Trump, but you've got enough people and enough power in these urban areas that they dictate what goes on in a lot of states. Pennsylvania is another one where I live. You've got Philadelphia and Pittsburgh, and you know, they always say in between it's Alabama. I mean, it's a very you got a lot of small towns, overwhelmingly white, people would like to hunt, you know, just traditional type people, but you've got enough of the left in Philadelphia and Pittsburgh that they control a lot of what goes on at the state level. So, you know, that's our conundrum. You know, we still have a heck of a lot of people. I think we are the majority, but the system is set up in a way that the extreme left has a lot of power. And, you know, I mean, yeah, it'd be great. I mean, a few of them being shot would send a strong message, but it ain't going to happen in Portland. I can guarantee you that. Well, the feds might, but it won't happen from the Portland police.
You bring the feds in and put a few rounds, and that I think, you know what, if you bring some Marines in, I tell you what, bring some good old boy National Guard from Alabama, Mississippi, Tennessee, bring them into Portland and let them just start, you know, unlimbering their weapons and wiping these clowns out. Because I'll say this once again, once you start throwing firebombs at people, at law enforcement officials, once you start, you know, through pepper spray, this lethal stuff, throwing bricks, anything that can hurt you, you've sacrificed your life, my friend, and you deserve a bullet in the head. I'm going to say one more thing before we go to Paul. You know, back in the day, back in the 50s and 60s, when Eisenhower sent the 101st Airborne Division into Little Rock, Arkansas, and forced integration at bayonet point with high school kids and elementary kids, bayonets from the 101st Airborne Division, JFK sent the National Guard into Oxford, Mississippi, into Tuscaloosa, Alabama. These leftist crackpots, they were just giddy. They were urinating in their pants. They were just having orgasms because they loved us so much. They're turning the military loose on the white people. Now they're crying to high heavens about it. It's shoes on another foot. It's a horse of a different color now. And I will end this right here. I've ride my bike all over the African part of Memphis, going down to the river. And you know what? There's supposed to be a National Guard here. I haven't seen one National Guard on it. But anyway with that, Paul, take off on that, brother.
Yeah, Here's a story. I don't know if Don caught it or not, but it brings a certain amount of satisfaction. The very far leftist mayor of a small town in Germany adopted a Negro, adopted an African kid, a daughter. That daughter recently stabbed her 13 times.
God.
Yeah, I did see that. Yeah.
It reminds me of the story about, it's not a story, it's the truth, about the cuckoo. The cuckoo is a bird that doesn't have its own nest. It drops its eggs in other birds' nests, birds that are a little smaller than it is. The cuckoo chick hatches, is bigger than the other ones. It gets all the food, the other ones die, and it takes over. Well, that's it's survival strategy, but for when whites are so degenerate or stupid as to adopt the third world, I hate to say it, but the stupid bitch deserves what happened to her. I mean, honestly,
yes.
And she somehow survived.
Well, whites are afraid of blacks too. It's, you know, it's degeneracy. It's a lot of different factors, and of course the media encourages that. You know, the menacing black, and of course it's accurate in a lot of places. I mean, there's a lot of no-go zones for white people.
You know that's one difference between Canada and South Africa. The whites in South Africa were not afraid of the blacks. I don't mean to say they wouldn't take precautions. Yeah, of course, but. A white man would not be afraid of, physically, confronting a black or punching him or something like that. Whereas my understanding is most North Americans and certainly Canadians are very, they tend to be afraid. But it's not just physical fear. It's also that we've been so brain tenderized, about racism and all that.
Well, look at Daniel Penny, the subway hero in New York. I mean, if you stand up and do something, what a man traditionally has done and some still will, you risk being charged with something or being dragged through the courts.
Exactly.
Becoming like Daniel Penny. I mean, this poor man, I mean, he became a national figure mostly of derision for doing something heroic. So that's always involved, too. You have to think, what are the possible repercussions if I do the right thing here? And they've drilled this into us for a long time. I'll tell you what, though, I've seen a lot of videos where whites beat the heck out of blacks. There's a lot of them on YouTube and other places. I mean, that's why, that's one reason I have the sports site, CastFootball.us. Whites take a backseat to nobody when it comes to athleticism and fighting and everything else. And that's another one of the big lies that's perpetrated to try and keep us in our place. Whites physically are very, very tough, always have been, and it's just a matter of getting mental toughness back to go with the physical toughness, and nothing can hold us back then.
I could not agree more. I could not agree, and you know what? You made an excellent point. Everybody and his mama knows, just for instance, I forget which one of you guys pointed out that in, I think it was Portland, when the Antifa and the BLM were raising hell and attacking this white man, when the white man defends himself, just like it was in Charlottesville when we were there. When you get the people, the white guys who just merely defend themselves wind up going to jail, in some cases prison, for 6 or 7 or 8 years. So that's always in the back of your head. You know, what's going to happen to me if this coach of blacks jumps on me and I have to hit him in the head with a hammer, even though he's stabbing me? Am I going to go to prison after I get out of the hospital? It's always in the back of their mind. It most certainly is.
Yep. Life in Canada and the U.S.
the problem with court cases, even if you win, you've still lost. You've lost a lot of money. You've lost a lot of time, emotional energy. I've been through a couple of court cases, not criminal, but civil. They take a lot out of you.
No question.
Sometimes you can't avoid it, but that's another consideration.
Yes. Of course. Well, guys, we're completely out of time with that. I hear the music. I cannot tell y'all how much I appreciate you coming on, how much I've enjoyed you coming on. I think our listeners benefit greatly from you. I think you men do a great service to our people being white. And I will contact both of you guys soon after the program, within the week. And God bless you. Thank you again for coming on. Well, dear Blood River Radio family, you have to transition now to the third and final hour. We're going to pick up the bitter ender himself, Gene Andrews, coming over with the continuation of Confederate history. Be right back, folks.